Okay, let's jump into some of my most common diagrams that I like to use in counseling. And as I do so, I'm going to say right up front, it is not likely that I'll finish. So there's so much. We'll just see how far we get. But most of these diagrams are in my book, Gospel Treason, with even greater explanation, because these are the things I use the most. Be aware, I've got a website, bradbigney.com. There's an excellent study guide that a guy in my church wrote for his small group, and oh, it's good. You can download that for free. We've been using it in our church right now, because my elders asked me to go back and re-preach Gospel Treason truths. So I just finished a 5-sermon series on this subject, being a little more clear what chapters go with which message. If you would be helped by a study guide in your own quiet time or in a Sunday school setting or small group or in counseling, go to my website. All right, let's dig into some of, I don't know about you, but I think it's helpful to not just talk in counseling, but to show something. And you don't have to be an amazing artist. Even before I had an office, before we had a church, and I'm meeting in my home or I'm meeting in a restaurant, I was forever flipping over the paper placemat or a napkin or something. If you can help someone see it as you say it. So as I read books, counseling books, I'm always looking for another diagram or something I can walk someone through. Most of these are not original with me. A few are. I actually thought of a few things myself. But similar to Spurgeon one time said, I milk a lot of cows, but I churn my own butter. So he would read, and then think and put something together. Similar to here. I love getting stuff from other people and saying, oh my goodness, that's good. That is really good. I might tweak it a little bit. So most of these things I saw, when I know who it was, I try to give them credit. But sometimes it's just hard to find out. When I was writing the book, and they want you to give everybody credit, and I get it, I went round and round and round to figure out who first did this one diagram that I'm going to show you, I hope, tonight. And no one was for sure. I'm writing Paul Tripp. I'm saying, I think it's Paul Tripp. I've looked through all your books. I don't see it. And finally, his assistant says, yes, we don't know where it is either, but we think he did it. I'm like, okay. All right, so I'm going to say Paul Tripp did that, but he doesn't even know what he's done, which was really encouraging. So, oh my goodness, this first one I'm going to show you, I use this all the time with all kinds of people. I just did it last week with a brand new couple that I started with. This is probably session 3. And they said something. So when I counsel with observers now, and one of the number one questions I get when I do something, they'll say, oh, Pastor Brad, do you always do that in session 3? I don't always do anything at the exact same time. But there are things that I'm almost always going to use at some point. I find it much more effective, you guys. I'll have an agenda of what I think I want to cover. And then on my left side of my agenda, I call it a floating box. I'll just have a box of something I think, I want to show them this when the time is right. Because I hope you realize, when you just begin to try to tell somebody something and they weren't really asking, they don't get it in a way that when they say something or they ask something or the moment, and you're like, you know what? I'm so glad you asked that. Let me show you something. That's what I did last week. It wasn't what I'd planned, but I jumped to my dry board and I began to show them this diagram. What do you do with your feelings? God gave us feelings. They're not sinful. But we live in a culture that believes you're never more authentic than when you go with your feelings and do exactly what you feel. They think that's authentic. They think that's the best true north. Bible doesn't teach that. Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible actually teaches that you can do differently than your feelings. And you need to understand that. So I jump to the board and I'll say, hey, here's how life works. Stuff happens. They just found out that they're pregnant. There's a few things that have come up that have kind of rocked their world. They're young. And they're like, oh, all right, stuff happens. We can't control all that happens. You got let go from your job and you didn't see it coming. You've got prostate cancer and you thought you were totally healthy. One of your kids went off the rails and that's the one that had been singing on the youth praise team. Stuff happens. Stimuli. We can't control that. But what the Bible teaches and shows about us as human beings is we think something. You realize what sets us apart from aardvarks, golden retrievers, and houseplants are that we're interpreters. We are interpreters. We think. I'm not saying animals don't think, but think. They don't wrestle with why. Why? I don't understand. Freddie got hit by a car yesterday. We're still chasing Jeeps. Why? They don't wrestle with that. They don't ever wake up and say, I don't understand. I need more. I can't do it another day. I poop, I sleep, I breed. I need more. They don't. They don't lie around and say, why do we do what we do? Human beings do, right? We're the ones that have philosophy departments, right? Because we need more than just live another day, maybe get married, have some kids, build a bigger house, travel. But the human heart longs, because Ecclesiastes says he's put what in our hearts? Eternity. The human heart longs for a bigger why to the what. Why am I here? Why am I here? And so we're constantly, I like to say to my counselees, we're constantly trying to interpret and connect the dots as to what's going on in our life. Problem? We often connect them poorly. So we're thinking, but we don't always connect those dots well. And as we think, and we might not be aware of how much we're thinking, we begin to feel something, emotions. Because your thinking fuels emotions. Emotions do not just happen in a vacuum. You start to feel something. If you say it long enough to yourself, if you rehearse it to yourself, if you keep connecting the dots as you lie awake in bed or in the shower or in the car, as you try to make sense of it and connect dots, you're going to begin to feel a certain way. I think I shared it in one of the other tracks, but one of my favorite examples of how, unlike other creatures in this world, we are by nature interpreters. We just do it. We try to make sense. Is my oldest daughter, when she was like 5, my dad's mom had just moved in with them. A grandpa had died. For all these years, we've been going to Terre Haute, Indiana for Thanksgiving. This is the first Thanksgiving that she's at our house and grandpa is dead. So, of course, at the Thanksgiving table, lots of talk about Grandpa. Just lots of talk about. But we were thrilled. He had not been a church-going person, hadn't been raised in church, but he truly got saved right before he died in the hospital. Thrilled. We're talking about Grandpa dead, Grandpa in heaven, but Grandma had never driven. She'd never driven her whole life. And so that came up a lot, too. You know, she doesn't have a car. We're trying to figure out how to get her around. So that night, I'm putting Lauren in bed. She's 5. And she's like, oh, Dad, we need to pray for Grandma. I said, we do. I'm thinking she's relating that to, it's sad, Grandpa is dead. She said, we need to pray for Grandma because Grandpa died and went to heaven and took the car with him. We never said he took the car with him. But since she's a human being, she was thinking, I sense there's a problem. Grandpa's gone. Grandma doesn't have a car. I'm going to make sense of this. Dink, dink, dink. Grandpa took the car to heaven. Now, we laugh with something like that kids will do. Human beings, adults, are doing it. And you'll have the opportunity to help them try to realize you've connected some dots in the wrong way. We think and we begin to feel a certain way. As you begin to feel a certain way, then you begin to act. Whether it is to pull back and shut down, that's still a choice. That's an action to pull back. Or it is to get angry or whatever it is that you choose to do. You begin to take action. But that choice of what you do is based on what you were feeling. And what you were feeling was based on what you've been saying and how you've been interpreting all that's going on around you. And if you do it long enough, TEA simply means you keep thinking and emoting and acting a certain way. You keep thinking, emoting, and acting a certain way. I've been counseling 30 years now, and usually when you start to counsel with someone, do people come in right away at the first bump in the road? They wait. So often, they are way on down this chart, what I'm showing you, and there's sometimes been a lifetime of processing it this way, feeling a certain way, making certain choices. So TEA simply means if you do it enough, it can become rooted in you, almost like this is who you are. This is who you are. We've all struggled with anger. We've all been guilty of anger, I'm sure. But that's not the same as what you've probably seen, whether it's a coworker or a family member or a next-door neighbor, that you would say, oh my, that's an angry man. He's an angry man. She's an angry woman. What that means is they've done it so long and it's rooted in them, it doesn't take anything to set them off. And just like picture water coming off a roof. Say the gutter on the corner of your house is broken and water's just running off in a way it shouldn't and hitting the ground. What happens is if that does that long enough, it just cuts a groove in the ground. And now that water just goes that way. We are created that way, that if you think the same thing, You think it, you feel it, you do it.